We're talking with Crystal from Arusha today and taking a look at what we can do individually, but also as a church or a small group when it comes to making the world a more beautiful, better, sustainable, lovely place. Thank you for joining us today.
Great, thank you. Great to be here.
I mean, Arusha is an environmental group with a difference because it's a Christian environmental group. You guys clearly care about God's creation. Someone listening today might be thinking, yeah, I get that, but we've all got different passions. We've all got different things that God has placed on our heart. You know, why is it important that I should care?
Yep, definitely. I think it comes back to, I think it's a really good question to ask, like, why should I care? And, I mean, the really simple answer would be, well, God cares, and then you could say, why? But I think when we go back and read the Bible, it becomes very obvious that, you know, he made it. He said to look after it, take care of it. And and challenges us, you know, in every way how we live, including environmental stuff. And that's become a really key issue nowadays. So I think as Christians, we should be leading the way because we have a real, real good reason, not only because the environment is suffering and there's some major challenges we have to tackle, but also we should be inspired because, in a sense, it becomes an act of worship for us to care. And it can be a part of any program or anything we do. We incorporate that thinking.
Yeah, I love that concept of leading the way. I think that is something that would be wonderfully aspirational for any small group or church to think on. So we've talked about, you know, the different ways that we could look at this, but perhaps maybe five overarching principles or things that we can look at to perhaps start us off on this journey. So what are some of those things?
Yep. So, I mean, we've already covered one in previous weeks, you know, about biodiversity and how we care for that. And that can be anything from national parks or our own park or area where we live, as well as our own backyard. And that can include all sorts of things from restoring a waterway or planting trees and just taking care of our little patch, both individually and as a community. It's a great way to connect with neighbours. So that was my personal kind of top one.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, a lot of churches do have some really beautiful grounds. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to do something like that where you are adding to the biodiversity and maybe, you know, setting up a community garden or something like that, getting to know your neighbours might be a neat way to do it.
Yep. Yeah. And I just talked to a pastor recently and he said he has a group of men that he takes out and does a biodiversity project with them doing trapping. So that was really cool. Like he said, oh, it's a really great way to connect and do something together.
Yeah.
So that's one way of people doing it or doing what they do. So biodiversity, because ultimately biodiversity takes care of, you know, how our ecosystems function, so we need them. So that's the one. But then there comes the personal action. So probably my other next favourite is zero waste.
Yeah, because this is something that I think has become easier to do. Even over just the last year, there are many alternatives to some of the products that we used before, aren't there?
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely products, but I think also, do we really need it?
Yeah.
I think it's really good to ask yourself, like, why do I care? You know, why would we even go zero waste? And then kind of looking at our own lifestyles and do we really need it? Is, I think it used to be reuse, but now they say refuse.
Yeah.
You know, don't even buy it. Do we really want to buy it? And if we do buy things, what are we going to buy? Where are we going to put our money? And in that way, we can become real influencers. So I think that's really exciting. And then there's also really simple ones. So I think when you look at principles, you can kind of see where your niche is and where you can make a difference. And usually that's because maybe you've done a bit of research around that topic. You know, you've read some information about it and it really triggers something for you. So I think there's something really awesome about, you know, action that's, you know, driven by a passion that you have. And so for everyone that's different, but collectively we make a difference, and all those things that we do, all those actions are interconnected. So say when we say, oh well, from now on when I visit and, you know, a natural habitat or I go to the beach, I'm going to pick up some trash. There's some great programs like Take Three for the Sea, Plastic Free July, that challenge people to take those actions. And a lot of people that get involved then continue those actions even after July is finished. So they'll go into August or September, and next thing they do it year round. So I've seen that with friends who've taken that on and said, actually, I just realised that after I did that, I don't really need that stuff anymore. Or I found a different way of doing it. So they've, you know, and I guess that's the power of, say, you know, reducing plastic bags. Every time we go to the supermarket and we forget our reusable bags, we're reminded about plastic and why we want to reduce it. And then at the same time, that benefits biodiversity again, because then if we don't have plastic ending up in our ocean, we don't have the impact on the species that live there. So, you know, so there's no thing that's separate from each other. Everything will have a consequence, and everything will have an impact by doing those little things.
And I think, you know, doing these things individually is one thing, and I've done that, you know, before in the past, but I actually really love this idea of doing it as a small group or even as a church, because it's collectively coming together and saying, you know, what can we do? You know, taking a look at perhaps, you know, even weekly services or something like that, and saying, you know, how can we change things up here?
Yeah, so I did have a horrific experience once where I was at church, and after lunch this lovely woman grabbed a big plastic bag and just swiped everything into there that was rubbish on the table and said, there, it's all gone. But it's not, you know, it's still there. It's just in a bag, and it's going to go to wherever it ends up, you know, and it's there for a long, long time, you know. And I think that can really hit home, you know, when you kind of realize, like, every time you make some decisions, that that has a long-term impact. And I think if we can collectively change that, that would be amazing. So yeah, we can have collective decision making and action around some of those things. And I think one of the big ones is probably that's come out to us is communion cups.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Because of the effort maybe of washing them, we've gone to plastic. But maybe we can change that.
So going back to the little glass ones?
Yep, that could be one.
Yeah.
I mean, some people still use the communal cup.
Yeah, they do.
You know, there's different ways of doing it. I mean, you could use shells from coconuts. You know, you could get really nifty if you wanted to.
You could really get very nifty, couldn't you? But it's a change of mindset, isn't it? And I think sometimes we've done something a certain way for a while, and you just kind of forget actually that there are alternatives out there. I mean, you guys would have a few resources talking about all of these different things. Am I correct in saying so?
Yep.
That perhaps small groups could get a hold of?
Yeah, so we do have some resources around food, climate and water at the moment. And there's a waste one and a transport one coming up.
Oh,
so,
cool.
So some of the other principles that we, you know, had been talking about was rethinking your food.
Yes.
That was another really good one. So that could be anything from buying local, deciding to buy more seasonally, having, you know, organics, or choosing to eat less meat. I won't go as far as saying, hey, you should become vegetarian. I think a little bit of meat's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, like maybe just rehashing what you eat and how often you eat it can have it. Major influence if we do that collectively. Another really cool thing around food is community gardens. Really great thing. I always kind of think, imagine if all our churches had community gardens around them and they could feed their neighbours that needed it or that wanted to collect some food. And I've had great friends do that, where they've done a little gorilla garden out the front of their place.
Yeah.
And their neighbours come and collect some food or some leaves or whatever they want.
Yeah.
And it's such a great way to share.
It's exciting, isn't it?
A small resource that we can just grow out the front. Instead of having car parks, we could have churches with abundant, you know, vegetable gardens. And I think it'd be so exciting to see something like that happen. Yeah.
So creative and imaginative too. It's sort of thinking outside the box, thinking differently.
Yeah.
Now, was there another one on that list before we go?
So we had five. So the fourth one was transport.
Yes.
Yeah. So how we get around. And, you know, it could be anything from taking the car less often. If it's less than a kilometre, maybe you don't take the car and you walk or you bike. A really cool one is one of our Arosha guys in Christchurch. He's got about 10 pastors onto electric bikes, which I thought was pretty cool.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah. So he's a bike guru. His story is coming out soon, actually. Ooh. So keep an eye on that one.
Okay. Yeah.
And the other one probably related to that is energy efficiency. Is like how we run our homes, you know, the products we buy, but also light, heating, all those things we can consider in terms of, like the impact we make.
Mm. Yeah. So thinking individually, possibly even as a church, you know, how can we do this better?
Yeah, 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 definitely. Yeah, church buildings take a lot to maintain.
Mm.
So, I mean, it goes as far as like how we maintain them. The light bulbs we use, as simple as that, but also the materials we use. Some people are doing renovations or creating new buildings. Maybe they can become eco buildings that are made with really good materials. Maybe they can have more gardens around them rather than car parks.
Yeah.
I always kind of think it'd be great to have shared bikes, you know, that people or staff in churches can use.
Yeah.
And I think the other great thing is I've seen great examples of where churches are set up for communities to use. So you know, it goes beyond just your own energy efficiency of the building, but also the fact that you have a building, and if it's empty most of the time, what's the point? You know, if we can create buildings that other people can use, you know, when we're not using them, you know, our community, then even that is more efficient. So lots of cool ways.
Many cool ways. I'm loving this. It's such a creative way of thinking, isn't it? Because it really is outside of the way we've thought in the past.
Yeah.
Of course, there are people who are leaders and they've been doing this for a wee while now. But perhaps for some people, it's like actually as an individual or even as a small group, I might want to do things a little differently. Hey, thank you so much for your time today, Crystal.
Thanks. Great to be here.